Okay, so continuing in Torah versus heresy, we're going to be doing, this one is called The Ant and the Heretical Predator. It's Mishlei Perek Vav, Sukkim Vav through Yates. Okay, so this one is really one of my favorite ones. Especially because you'll really get to see, like kind of like last week again, a little bit, but even more so how Rashi is so committed to making this really one continuous story, one continuous idea, these 10 chapters. And, you know, these psukim are, you might have heard them before about the going to the ant and learning from the ant about the lazy person, you know. And, but you'll really see how Rashi is so committed to learning it all within this context of like Torah and Kfira. And the battle between, you know, the Minim and Chachma. And so I think it's a really interesting section. And you really get to meet, you know, along the way, you get to meet different personifications of the Minim, the woman and the man. And this is really one of the personifications we'll see later on of the really one of the most evil versions of the men comes up later on. Okay, so let us begin. there's definitely a couple different little subsections here. But let me first read the Psukim Vav through Yud Aleph. Just to read it and translate, I don't want to give away how Rashi is learning. So first I'll just learn it, just read it and translate it, and you know, and then you'll see what Rashi does almost. Okay, so look at this. It says, Perek Pasuk Vav, Leich el Nemala Atzel. So, lazy one, go to the ant. Re'e derecheha v'chacham. Go see her ways, right? Study the ant and become wise. Asher ein la katzin shoter Moshe. So, the ant has no chief officer or ruler. Tachin b'kayetz lachma. But she prepares her bread in the summer. Agra v'katzir ma'achala, but she gathers during the harvest season her food. Okay, so the ant, right, go to the, so it's talking to a lazy person. So a lazy person, go to the ant and look and study her ways and become wise. And the ant has no officer, has no chief, has no, nobody above her. And the ant still prepares her bread in the summer and gathers during the harvest season. Ad mosai atzel tishkav. How long are you going to lie down, lazy one? Mosai takom mishnasecha. When are you going to get up from your sleep? Me'at shenos, me'at numos. So a bit of sleep, a bit of slumber. Me'at chibok yadayim lishkav. A bit of like putting your hands together, you know, when you're taking a nap, you rest on your back in a hammock, take some Z's, you put your hands over your belly, and you lie down. Uba kimahalech reishecha, and your impoverishment will come like somebody walking, somebody traveling. And you're lacking like a ishmagin is like a secret service guy. Ishmagin, somebody protects, like protects the king, protects the president. Okay. So your impoverishment will come like a mahalik, somebody traveling quickly, and you're lacking your deficiencies like a like an ishmagin. Like a secret service guy. Okay. So, you know, if you didn't have Rashi, you'd say something along the lines that Mishnah is giving you Musar not to be lazy, study the ant. The ant is industrious. It works hard, even though nobody's telling you what to do. And if you sleep, you sleep a little bit and you don't prepare in advance, then very quickly you're going to become poor and you're going to lose your money if you don't plant and you don't harvest and, you know. Basically, it's a Musar Shmuz to not be lazy and be diligent. Okay, and that's true, and that's not wrong. That's an underlying shot of what's going on. But look how Rashi learns it. Okay, so Rashi's like this: is, it's true, right? Puzzle Bob is the same way. Go to the Aunt Lazy One and see her ways and become wise. That's for sure the case, right? Pasuk, right? Vav. Asher in la katzin shotim Moshe. So Rashi, what does Rashi say there? So in la katzin, so the ant has no chief. There's no chief over the ant. Okay, I mean, there's nobody in charge of the ant. Shiochiach osa. So nobody tells the ant, rebukes the ant. There's nobody giving mussar to an ant. V'yizarzena and encourages her. Nobody rebukes her and do something wrong. Nobody encourages her. V'yotzi miyada. Or takes out of her hand, im tigzal da mechaverta, if the ant steals something from her friend. Okay, so it's weird. Well, all of a sudden, ants are stealing from each other. They don't, right? There's nobody stops the ant, one ant, from stealing from another ant. Think about it. If you watch all these ants, they, you know, they're going in a line and they're carrying different things, you know, one all with little breadcrumbs. Have you ever seen one ant just mug another ant and take something from them? Right? Never. You've never seen that happen. Ants don't do that to each other. Why not? Right? Are they going to go to a little anti jail? Right? Are there a little ant who are going to policemen who are going to punish them? No. There's no policemen. There's no courts. There's no officer. Right? No police officers. Nothing. And still, one ant does not mug another ant. Wow. Okay. Tachin, right now, Tachin bekayetz lachm, agar bekatzer machala. So machala means mizona, right? Mizona ko achas v'achas, ina gozels mechaverta. So you see, each ant prepares, you know, their bread, their food in the summertime when it's appropriate for ants. I guess summer for ants, I don't know when that is exactly. It gets ants only out in the summer, right? In the winter, you don't see ants, right? And then they harvest it when they need to. So ants work very hard, right? And they don't steal. So that's what's really strange about Rashi. What is going on? What is he talking about? The whole thing is ants aren't stealing from each other. Okay. Then the next two psukim are basically the same as the pshat. How long, lazy, when are you going to sleep? When are you going to get up from your slumber, right? How are you going to lie down? When are you going to get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little bit folding your hands over your belly to sleep, to take a nap. Those are the same. And then Yudalef is like this. Uba kimahalach reshecha. Okay? And your impoverishment will come quickly, like a traveler, somebody traveling quickly. Okay, so it doesn't mean that you're going to become poor very quickly. Rashi almost learns the opposite. Look at this. He says, uba kimahalach reshecha, im tase king, if you do this, right, if you're lazy and you go to sleep, and you don't get up and you take a little nap in your hammock, yavo chesro necha, your lacking, your deficiencies will come. V'davrsh atarash mimenu yavo lecha miyad. The thing that you are impoverished from, the thing which you are lacking, will come to you immediately. Ka'adam mahalech maher, like a person traveling very quickly. Okay. U'machsorcha, and that which you are deficient in, yavo v'yismalek yishmagim. That which you're deficient in will come and will be filled like an ishmagin, right? Who's the ishmagin? A secret service guy, above mahir, logging out, don't know. So the secret service guy, as soon as there's shots, as soon as anything, immediately the secret service surrounds the president. Okay? So if you do this and you're lazy and you go to sleep and you rest and you close your eyes and you're lazy and you don't listen to learn from the ant, so then immediately, right, very immediately, very quickly, that which you are deficient in, that which you are impoverished from, that which you're lacking, will very quickly be filled in. What's he talking about? And then Rashi ends off, Hamikrosa Elu Ikaran Mashal Amis Atzan Lasa B'Torah. So these psukim, they're essentially a mashal for people who are lazy in being osek in Torah, right? The whole point of the book, if you remember from Pasuk, Perek Aleph, Pasuk, Beis, right? Ladas Chachma Musar. Hamasham Ela Amar Lo Dia Lebriya, Shi Yomel B'Torah, right? Shi Chachma Musar Bina, right? So the whole point of this book, I tell you, be Osik in Torah, right? That's really, if you realize now from, we've seen enough over the past weeks to realize like the whole point, what that, the depth of what that means to be Osik in Torah. This parsha is really going to show you. It's really going to be Zari to explain to you why you really need to be Osek in Torah and why that's so important in terms of protecting you, to be shomer you from the ish medaber tepuchos, the isha zona. Why being osik in Torah is a big solution. Okay, so really pasuk yid aleph. The two curveballs Rashi throws you here is pasuk yid aleph. This extremely, it almost turns the pshat upside down. You think if you're lazy and you're not working, it means you're going to become poor right away. Very quickly, you're going to become poor. Rashi learns the almost the opposite. You don't even know what he's talking about. He says that if you are lazy and you don't, and you're not osik in Torah, right? You're not osik in Torah and you're lazy about that. Then very quickly, that which you're lacking is going to become filled in by the Ishmagim, the Secret Service guy, like immediately, in a second, it's filled in. It's right there. It surrounds the president before you know it. The Mahalech very quickly travels. All of a sudden, he fills in that which you're lacking. So what exactly does he mean? And then what is he doing? The first Pasuk Vav through Ches here is look at the ant. It's not like looking how industrious the ant is. It's looking at the ant and how it doesn't have to steal from its friend, even though there's no external compulsion, nobody forcing it. One ant does not steal from the other ant. Right? What exactly is Shlomo Melech getting at in these psukim, according to Rashi? So the first thing is these psukim are, their ikur is a mashal on Devri Torah. People are lazy in Devri Torah. Okay. So food is a mashal for Devri Torah. Okay. So that's a common mashal. Rambam and the Mora discusses it. Right. Ha'ikot samil chulamayim. Right. So that's a water could be a nimshal to Devri Torah. It's you go in Yishai also as you go buy it below Kesef, lechem below Kesef, I think below Mechir. So it's referring to Devri Torah, to ideas, because ideas, just like food, nourishes your body and builds up your body, and that's what you are, what you eat in a certain sense. That constitutes your body, is made out of the nutrients you take in physically. So your soul is made up of the new nutrients that you take in, the ideas that you ingest and you learn is what constitutes your soul, and they make up your personality and your ideas and your mind and your attachment and your values and your soul, whatever, you know, all the ideas that constitute the non-physical part of you, not your physical body. It's created and nourished and brought about through ideas of what you learn. Okay. Now it's saying that that an ant is very industrious and it works hard in the appropriate time. And when it's time to work, the ant works. And when it's time to harvest, there's something there for it to harvest. And as a result of that, it doesn't need to steal anything from its friend, because the ant follows its nature and its nature is good. And if it follows it appropriately, it's going to have enough food without having to steal it. So the idea is that the ant, through its industriousness and through not being lazy and taking care of working for itself and providing for its own nourishment, it doesn't need to steal foreign ideas. It doesn't need to get ideas from somebody who are really a foreigner to it, ideas that don't belong to it, that aren't appropriate for it. So it has its own food, the food that's appropriate for it, and it doesn't need to go and take ideas, foreign ideas from somebody else that it really should not be taking, that don't belong to the ant, okay? Foreign food, okay? The same thing like this, and this is the main core point here, is that a person should be involved in Torah. You're a Jew. A Jew has the Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Morashah Kehilas Yaakov. That's our Yerusha. That's what we have. Our Yerusha is the Torah. And we're Jews, and we have the Torah is full of ideas of the whole world. We've discussed, you know, the Chachmas HaTorah through many prakim of Hashem Chachma Yasar Aretz, and Chachma the Torah parallels the Chachma and Maisa Bracious and the whole Bria. The Torah deals with ethics and philosophy and halacha and a whole way of life. And there's the whole idea of how a person can construct his life, how he should view philosophically, what he progresses to, his values, ideas, his purpose, his the Torah has it all. And you really have to be involved. That's your food. That's what's given to you. And you have to be involved in it. You have to be osik in it. And when you're osik in Torah, you are filling up your soul. You are constituting your soul, nourishing yourself on the Chachmas HaTorah, and you're building a soul. But if you are lazy and you do not involve yourself in Torah, and you take a nap and you involve yourself with the Havli Azman. You watch a little TV, a little movies, you rest, you play on your phone, you put your head down, you go to sleep, you do all these different things. And you know, it doesn't have to be sleep, but you know, being caught up in the Havli Azman is a type of slumber. Like the Rambam says, the famous Rambam by Shofar is Shofar to wake you up, Uri Shenim Mishenastem, right? And wake up from your Tardema, which is, he calls the Havli Azman, getting caught up in the events of the times, watching the nonsense of that's going on, the political nonsense that that's going on in Hollywood, and what's the current events that are just always seem to be going on, that just are here today, gone tomorrow, and nobody even cares about them in a month from now, a year from now. You can't even remember what happened a year ago and the events of the year ago. They seemed so important a year ago, but now you don't barely even remember what they were. You know, so that's the tardema, that's the sleep. So you can get caught up. You cannot be osek in Torah, and you can be lazy about really developing your soul and being involved in the Chachmas Torah. And what that does is it creates a vacuum, an ideational vacuum, where there's you're a nar and a pesi, and you go through life. You go through high school. You don't know anything, and then all of a sudden you find yourself completely ignorant of the Torah, not being aware of the depths of the Chachmas Torah, and you go to college, and as soon as you step foot, immediately, boom, there's somebody there ready to fill that void of ideas that you don't have. And he's ready to fill it with ideas of his own ideas, foreign ideas, ideas that do not come from the Torah, but ideas that make sense to you, that seem okay, because you don't know any better and you don't know how to respond and you don't have an answer to what is the purpose of this mitzvah? Why does the Torah command you on this? Or what is the purpose of your existence? Why should you, what is ethical? Is it ethical to treat people this way? What's the difference between, what's the difference between men and women? What's the difference between, people of different ages, or what's truly ethical in terms of what's just and what's not just, and what's real kindness, and when should you show rachm? All these questions, you don't know how to answer all these questions. You don't know how to balance when's it appropriate to lie, when should you always tell the truth, right? These are very subtle questions, and you get them from learning the Torah and studying the Torah. But if you have an ideational vacuum and you don't know the answer to these questions, there are people there that are waiting to fill your mind with those ideas. And very quickly, your ubav kimhalech reshecha v'machsorcha kishmagin, is you have reshecha, you are impoverished in ideas if you're lazy in Torah. And it's going to be filled up with the culture around you, and the ideas and the ethical values of the times are going to fill your ideas, and all of a sudden you're going to take on the morality and the values of the culture that you're imbibed in. You're going to go off to college. You're going to be filled in with the whatever the attitude on the campus is. Those are going to seep into your soul, and you're going to become taken over entirely. And your soul will be built from those ideas. And those ideas are stolen from the Goyim. That's where they are. They're not Jewish ideas. They're not indigenous to the Jewish culture, to the Jewish ideas, to the Torah. But rather, they come from the culture that you're around. Why are you exposed to them? Why are they available to affect you and to come to you? Because you have a vacuum, you have a void. And that void is very, very quickly filled. If it's not filled by Torah, it will be filled by foreign ideas. And that's the lesson you have to learn from the ant. Why does the ant not have to steal? Because the ant can survive, because it is osik in its own parnasa, and it's involved in developing its own source of food. And it does not, as a result of that, it doesn't have to take food from other sources that don't belong to it. And if you're osik in Torah and you fill your soul with the ideas of Torah, there's not going to be any room for somebody to come up to you and fill you with foreign ideas, because you're going to have the ideas. You're going to be full. Your soul will be a rich, developed soul, and it's not going to be a void, empty soul, which is a right place for a heretic to come and to attack you, and to really attack you in the sense of, without you realizing, we'll develop that in a second, and filling your mind with these foreign ideas. Okay, so the question is, why isn't a lazy person lazy not just from Torah, lazy from heretical ideas? Because Torah, you got to work for. You got to work for the ideas of Torah. You got to sit down. You got to learn. You got to turn off the distractions. The heretical ideas, if you don't have to work for them, they're very easy. They come to you. Somebody's very willing to spoon feed you problems and doubts and questions and the common morality. You turn on the TV, you're filled with these ideas. You could sit back passively and in a pleasant way without you even noticing. You see, like, you think you're just watching TV, entertaining yourself, relaxing, and all of a sudden you're subtly being filled. Hollywood has an agenda. They're trying to, they're pushing an agenda, a way of looking at the world, a way of values and ideas that they're subtly pushing into your mind without you even noticing. You do not have to work. You want to be filled with the ideas of the culture of the times. You do not have to work. You don't have to go study. You just go to a movie. You turn on the TV. You know what I mean? It's on the internet. There's no, you don't have to work hard to be filled, for the void to be filled by heretical ideas and ideas that are foreign to the Torah. Just walk out in the street and just enjoy your life. Just go and enjoy your life and do whatever feels good. And very quickly, you're going to be filled by all these foreign ideas. But ideas of the Torah, it requires work because you're really developing the soul. And some of the ideas of the Torah are not pleasant. They go against your emotions and you really have to work on yourself. And they're deep and they're subtle. You see, false ideas, they're superficially appealing. But chachma, it's deep. And sometimes it's not obvious why something is true. And you have to really work to understand something. So you got to put in effort. You got to put in work. And a person who's lazy, is going to be left with a superficial understanding that from the world around him that pushes a very shallow interpretation of events and ideas and values. And the true idea, the true substance requires work, you know, requires hard work. It's like the ant. You want real food, you got to work hard. You know what I mean? And if you don't have that, then the easy way is just to sleep all day and then just go and see somebody, another ant walking by the breadcrumb, and you mug him and take the breadcrumb. That's much easier than having to work all day. Just mug the other ant. Okay, but ants don't do that. And ants don't need to do that. And go study the ant. You'll see they work hard. They don't need to mug another ant. You'll never find one ant robbing another ant. And there's no policeman enforcing it. Amazing little creatures. Right, Don's making another point is that just like to survive, you need food, you need bread, you need food. So too, your mind needs ideas. And if it's not going to come from the Torah, it's going to end up coming from somewhere else. It will come from somewhere else. And there are people who are ready to pounce, okay? The people are ready to pounce, exactly. It is a good analogy.
It's almost like a...
Right, but the key point, though, is to realize that if you're osek in Torah, then you could be in a modern culture, in a society filled with heretical ideas, and you're not going to be susceptible to it. They won't have an opening to get you. What gives them an opening is the fact that you haven't learned Torah. If you involve yourself, you're osek in Torah, and you develop yourself, that will be a protection. It doesn't get it. You're not a target. The target for these guys, they prey on the guys who go to the secular colleges and they didn't learn any Torah. They didn't learn anything in high school. They didn't take it seriously in elementary school. The parents didn't teach them the ideas. They go into very shallow understanding of Torah. They go off to secular college and they're easy pickings. They're exposed. They're open to be preyed upon by these heretical predators. That's who these guys are who would take advantage of them. Okay. But if you're OSIG in Torah, you're not a target for them. I'm getting ahead of myself with the heretical predator a little bit, but the key point from here is to be osek in Torah. That's what will protect you from being exposed to this type of danger from the foreign ideas seeping into your mind. Okay, so let's get to the heretical predator. So this is Pesach Yud Beis to Yud Dalet. We'll come back to him again. They're basically the rest of Pesachim are more or less about him, but there's one Pesach in the middle. So it's Pesach Yud Beis is Adam Beli Al. So this is the person with Beli Ol. So he's a Porikol. He's rejected the Torah. Or even if it's necessarily was Jewish, but maybe he was Jewish and he's rejected the Torah completely, or just simply he's removed the Ol Machus Shemayim from himself. He has no God, no rules. Ishavet, the guy's now, he's a crooked guy. He's an unjust, an evil person. Holech Ikshus Peh. So he's going with Akimus Fasayim Rash. He's like twisted to a crooked lips. Do you know what I mean? He's not speaking straight. His lips are crooked and making subtle references with his lips. Koritz Be'inov. So he winks with his eyes. Molel Beraglov. He shuffles his feet. Mora Betzbosov. And he makes like little movements, indications with his fingers. Okay. Rashi's Kulam Min Lashon Rumazamim. They're all like types of gestures. Zenofala Ayin, Zenofala Regel, one with the eye, one with the foot, Zenofala Etzba, right? It's just different types. The point is it's filling out. It's basically subtle hints with his lips and with a crooked lips means duplicitous. He's tricky. He speaks in lies. And then he's hinting with his eyes and his winks and his hands and his feet. The ikur hu medaber al haminim hamisisnes abrios lavodas avodazara. So the ikur again, or the ikur in the prior psukim was a person who was osik in Torah, and the ikur of these psukim is talking about minim who are trying to seduce people to get them to worship avodah zarah. Okay, minim to reject the Torah and to worship foreign ideas. Okay, one more pasuk. Tapuchos belibo. So he has lies in his heart, duplicity in his heart. Chorish rabacholis. He is constantly thinking about evil. Medanim yeshalach. So Medanim is like fighting, right? He's sending out, he's trying to sow discord. Rashi says, Bein Adam Leboro, between a person and his creator. Okay, he's trying to sow discord between a person, this Mesis, this other, he's trying to sow discord between you and God, between man and God. Okay. So this is the heretical predator. This is the guy, he's looking to prey on people, easy victims, okay? Easy victims. The guy is going to the secular college, the young teenager, 18 years old, excited, going out into the world, but with a very shallow understanding of Torah, who's open and exposed to being filled with lies. And now this guy is a professional. He is a professional. He knows exactly what to do. And the way he does it is subtle. He doesn't just come right out and go to the young guy and say, hey, your Torah is false, it's wrong. He does it through hints and subtleties, and he makes sows doubt and, oh, that's interesting. You know, your Torah says this. Does that, what about that problem? Or have you ever noticed that there's two accounts of Adam HaRishon in Bracious? Isn't that a strange thing? Why there's two accounts? That's an interesting question. Or, you know, he's got all these like subtle little questions and doubts. He does not openly come. He's a professional. He knows if he right away went to the guy and said, your Torah is false, what are you doing? It's all a lie. The guy's just going to reject him because the guy's not ready for that. The young kid out of right in college is not ready to hear, to be directly confronted. But the heretical predator is a professional. He knows, he has a plan. He has an agenda, and he knows exactly how to reel the young guy in. And he tricks him, and he fools him. He starts off with remuzim and with hints and innuendos and subtleties and implications. He builds up doubts in the person's mind. Until eventually he fills that with ideas and values and questions and problems until he ultimately tries to destroy the person because he is motivated. He is motivated to destroy, to cause the person, his victim, his prey, to give up the Torah because he himself has no relationship to God, the radical predator. He has no relationship to God. His life is meaningless. He sees nothing deeper. He lives in an empty world, and he is envious, and he doesn't like it that other people have a sense of meaning and purpose and religiosity and a connection to God. And that bothers him because that's not available to him. He's unable to relate to anything that transcends himself, anything beyond the physical, material genes, atoms bouncing around in the void. That's what he can live in. That's what he can see. He's rejected. He's believe all. He can't see any higher power. He refuses to submit himself. And he's jealous and envious of people who are able to submit themselves to a higher power, to have a relationship to God, who find meaning in life, who find direction in the Torah, have a community of believers. That bothers him. It bothers him that you are able to have that in your life. And he is looking to destroy that in you. And he's not going to come out and say that right away, but that is his agenda, that these things bother him. Okay? I just want to say one thing, is that I'm not saying every single heretic is this evil, is this bad. Okay, they're all bad, and you shouldn't be listening to any of these guys, and they're all have agendas, and they're all liars, you know, on some level, okay? But Mishlei goes through different character types of the different types of minim, like we saw the different female personalities, right? One is was the Jewish girl who was in Perek Beis, I believe, who converted. Then you have the Isha Zona from Perek Hey, I believe, the Ish Medaber Tapuchos in Perek Beis, and then you have this guy. This is, I think, the most evil personification of the heretical of the heretic. I think in Mishlei, okay, it's really the worst guy. So again, I'm not saying every heretic is this bad, but again, I'm not worried about saying Lush and Hara generalizing bad heretics. I don't care about that. I just don't want it to seem like too dramatic that it seems like it's false what I'm saying. Okay, the heretics are bad. This is like the worst personification of this guy. And these people exist. Don't think they don't exist. They're people who it bothers them that other people are religious, that other people are able to believe in God and to find satisfaction and meaning in the Torah. And that bothers them. And they're sick people and they want to destroy that in others. And they find victims, and their victims are people who have the void, who weren't Osek in Torah properly and don't know how to respond. And they fill their minds with doubts and things that eat at the person, that destroy their mind and destroy their ability to relate to God and relate to the Torah. And that's who this heretical predator is. He's a professional and he's good. And if you aren't protected because you're Osek in Torah, you're susceptible to him and he's going to go after you. I mean, how are these guys different than the guys from Perek Beis? That's a question. How is he paid from Perek Beis? Perek Beis, Pasuk, to Tezvav. I mean, I think there, it's true. I didn't really do a great analysis of the differences. I mean, over there, they're like presented by the way they try to trick you is by presenting that their life is so amazing. You know what I mean? They're smechem lasos ra, yigilu b'tapuchos ra. They're happy, you know, they're leading a distorted life. But they're almost self-delusional. Those people are like the self-delusional crowd who like they really in consciously, they believe they're leading the greatest life and that presents an attraction to somebody else. You know, they really believe that and they give off that impression to people and that's kind of what attracts you to that type of a kfirah, that they really seem like they're having a good life and they're doing the right thing. And until you get involved in them, you don't realize how shallow it is and how awful it is and what it's going to do to you. That's like one type of crowd. That's really a group of people. So that was a plural. Okay. That was really a group. It's a community of kofrim who present an attraction to you. I would use those as like the academics, the Bible scholar. They present like a whole world of academia and they love it and they're pursuing it. And you know, it's the greatest thing, you know? But over here, it's like an individual. This is like the sick, twisted individual who like hates God and hates religious people. And is like his goal in life is to destroy religious people when he can. It's a different type of a person, and it's a different type of a method. You know, there's a commonality. They're both tapuchos. They're both liars. You know what I mean? And they're both evil people, and you can't trust any of them. But I mean, they're different methods, and there's a different sickness in their souls that motivates them. There's an element that the academics hate God, and I'm not saying that they don't have that. It's just that there's like different personalities, different, you know, character types and personifications, you know, but there is overlap. To some degree, there's universalities that when Ish Medaber Tapucho is the male personality and the groups. I just think that my sense is that this one is so extreme. You'll see how we get to it. It's like so extreme that I think it's even more than the other ones. You know, we'll develop this guy a little bit more, but I'm really trying to paint the picture of the worst possible predatory heretic that I can imagine. And you'll see the psukim, I think, describe it. So I just think it's a little bit more than the other ones, but I haven't really done a great job of really identifying the real differences between them. So I'm just kind of noticing it on a more of a intuitive level now that they're not all the same, but I haven't really gone through it and defined it. I've left that for you guys to do. Yeah, Lizzie's saying good that these guys, it's like very much the Jews for Jesus is very much the description of these guys. They have a yarmulke and a talis, and they say that they're part of you, that they're Jews also, and it's subtle, and they're really trying to get you to go to avodah zarah. They're really trying to get you to leave Judaism and go to Christianity. But they present it as, no, we're Jews. This is Jews. You could be Jews also. So it's the remizos. It's the subtleties. It's the lies in their method. And they're really trying to tear you away as opposed to presenting like a whole different, they're coming, right? They're coming to you. They're predatory. They're coming off of guys and their victims are people who don't really know very much about the Torah. And maybe look, if you understand the Torah, you know that, you know, the Torah doesn't believe that Jesus is God. It's pretty clear if you understand the Torah. It's not really compatible with the Torah to believe in the Jesus is God. The person has a very shallow understanding of the Torah. They can be duped. He can be duped by these types of things. As opposed to the guys in Perek Beis, right, there's also the Perek Hei. Perek Hei, they're presenting a whole image that attracts people. It's a little bit, it's a different style, a different type of hasasa, a different type of seduction approach. Okay, so David Fishburne's pointing out maybe the Jews for Jesus aren't like totally evil through and through. This guy completely is. What motivates the Jews for Jesus? Honestly, I really don't know. I never really quite met them. And it's kind of like a strange group to me. It's hard to believe they even exist. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're not motivated by the same type of evil that this guy is, or maybe they are and they just put on a show that they're not. I don't really know. So one element, certainly one element of their aspect of the trickiness of how they approach you and they fill that void that you just simply don't know any better. That's true. But do they have all the elements of this guy? Maybe not. So, you know. Now, Pasuk Tesvav. So I believe Pasuk Tesvav is going back. It is breaking up a little bit. It's not talking about the min himself. I think it's going back on the victim. Okay. Al Kain, Pisam Yavo Edo. Therefore, suddenly will come his downfall, his destruction. Okay. Pesa Yishaber, suddenly he will be broken, destroyed, Ve'ein Marpe, with no healing. Okay. So, Rashi, Pesa Pesa Lashon Tekifei, V'lo Yeda Es HaMapala Krovali Palaylov. He doesn't know the downfall that's very soon going to come to him. So it means that, I think it's going back, is that it's really, you know, we should have learned all those psukim together. It's, you have to combine these two psukim. It's showing you that, Pasuk Tesvav is showing you that really it's been one long thought since you began the story with the ant. You have these two guys. The Karan is the guy who's Osek Iker in the first set of psukim, is the guy who's Atzel and being Osek in Torah. He has that void. He's the prey. And because of that, he's exposed to this guy, the Min, who's Adam Blial, who's seeking to really pounce on, who is the predator, who's looking for the prey. And because he's so tricky and he's a professional, and he's motivated to really destroy this guy. So this guy is going to be completely caught off guards, unaware that he's being sought after, he's being preyed upon. And without his awareness, without being able to protect himself, he's going to be completely destroyed. And by the time he realizes it, in Marpe, it's going to be too late. There's no coming back from that. Very similar to the Isha Zona. Once you get caught in, the taivas take a hold of a person, he becomes too far down, that reaches a Kobayla Yeshuva, and there's a point of no return. And no Magala Seha, right? Velo Seidan, you just aren't aware. Same thing with this guy, with the intellectual, filling the intellectual void. By the time you realize what happened, it's too late. And you're not going to be able to get back. You're not going to be able to go back to the Torah. Once the person gets into that college environment and his mind gets filled by these people who are ready there to pounce and ready to fill it in these subtle ways, it just becomes too late and he's lost. He's completely lost to the gullus and he becomes one of them and it's over for him. And it's his whole existence, his soul, his life and his purpose and his meaning and all the good in his life, it becomes over, it becomes one of them and there's just no going back. There's no way to turn him, bring him back to the fold. Again, with that discussion we had, you know, 2 weeks ago or last week, is it impossible? I don't know. It's not necessarily impossible, but you know, like we was Paragva Pasik Dalit, Al Titin Shine Lech Nienecho Snu Laha Pecha, is if you see this happening to you, Chas V'Shalom, as soon as you see it happening, don't go to sleep. You got to do tshuva right away. You got to come back from this right away. If you immediately extricate yourself of that, Hinata Kitzvi Miyan Kitzvor Miyan Yakush Vav Hey, if you get yourself out of there immediately, maybe there's hope. Okay, but if you go to sleep on it and you hang out with this guy over and over and you spend time with these people, it's going to get to the point where they're simply in marpe. There's just no healing. There's no way to come back from what this guy's going to do to your mind and your soul. Okay, and now the last group of psukim here for tonight is psukim tes zayin to yates. Okay, so sheish heina sane Hashem. So six of these God hates. V'sheva to'avas nafsho. Okay, and the seventh is an abomination, a to'eva to God's soul, to God's ratzon, what God wants, right? So what God views it. It's despicable to God. Okay, Rashi says, kolomer gamash v'yisimahim. Okay, so six of these things God hates, and the seventh is also together with them. It's a weird structure. I tell you my thoughts on it. It's weird. There's really seven things that are going to come, and there's going to be like six in one. Okay, but it's like hard to know exactly what the seventh is. I'll tell you my pshat at the end. But basically, seven things God hates, but six things he hates, and the seventh is also a toivo. Okay. Einayim ramos, so it's haughty eyes. Lashon shaker, a deceitful tongue, a lying tongue. V'yadayim shovchos dam naki, so hands that spill innocent blood. If you recall from Perek Aleph, the gang, right, the gang members, they say dam naki. There are ambushing dam naki, right? So that's a, going back to those guys. So yadayim shovchos dam naki. So right, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that spill innocent blood. It's three, right? Lev choresh machshavas oven, a mind that's constantly, that's thinking, constantly thinking about evil, corrupted thoughts. Raglayim, a heart. I should leave it as heart here. It's important. So the heart is thinking about these corrupt thoughts, iniquitous, unjust thoughts. Raglayim and maros larutz lara, and their feet are quickly running to evil. So that's five now, or three in the first pasuk, two more. Yafiach kizavim aid shaker. So Rashi says yafiach is lashon dibuh. It's like speaking, like breathing. Kikol diba beruach apehu. So it's like breathing. The breathing is lies of an aid shaker, of testifying falsely. Umishalech medanim bein achem, and they sow discord between brothers. Okay. So this could be between brothers. Okay. So that last one, I think, is the seventh. And I'm going to be honest, this one presents me problems. I think that's the seventh. And I'm going to deal with that at the end. And it's a problem for me because Medana Mishalach and Pasuk Yedalad, Rashi interprets differently. So I'm going to get to that at the very end. But I want to do everything else first, and then we'll get to that seventh one and the problem with Rashi on Yedalad. Okay. Okay. So okay. So this is just like the fullest description, really, in Mishlei here, of the evil heretical predator. That's like the full evilness of who he is. And if you're like pay a little subtlety to what's going on, is like the mushel is depicting him through his body parts. Right? His eyes are haughty, his tongue is deceitful, his hands spill innocent blood, his heart is thinking evil thoughts. His feet are running to do evil. His breath, his lungs, his right, his breath is testifying falsely and lies. And then the seventh one, it doesn't have a body part, right? Mishalach medanim bein achem. He sows discord between brothers. Okay, social discord, right, in society. Right. So you have these six things which have body parts, and the seventh is set off in that regard also. It doesn't have a body part associated with it. Okay, so the six things, let's say, like, you know, all these seven, I think the point of the mashal, of describing it in like through all the body parts, is it wants you to realize this guy is evil through and through. Every single part of him is evil and corrupt. He might not present himself that way to you. He's going to present himself as a nice guy who's trying to help you out, who wants to be friends with you, whatever it is. But the guy is sick. Every single moral fiber in his body is evil. He has every single evil trait. He's arrogant. He's deceitful. He does unjust violence. He's obsessed with thinking evil. His thoughts are all about evil. They're planning machinations of what they're going to do, right? And he's physically, he's motivated to carry it out, to do it, not just thinking, but they actually carry out these plans. And yafiach kizam eichaker he tries to break down social institutions. Right, like Edis in court, and he specifically takes the institutions of society and tries to turn them into corruption. Okay, these are what I think really are the anarchists. Okay, that's the last thing. Mishach Madana bin Achim. Their ultimate goal is to sow anarchy and discord and destroy society. That's who these people are. Okay, Antifa. Okay, if we needed an example, Antifa, who these people are. They're sick people who want to destroy society, take it down. I don't really know anything about Antifa. I'm just using them as a caricature, you know, maybe they're wonderful people, okay? But it's willing to engage in lies, and it's an obsession and violence, for unprovoked violence. They want to destroy all the social institutions. They're looking for anarchy, and they're and it's a certain arrogance of that they know they know the way that the world should be. And it's a hatred. It's a real, it's a deep-rooted hatred for everybody else, for the rest of society. And they're, some of them will come out openly, but some of them do it, you know, from the underground, from the hiding. And they have plans of how they're going to manipulate people, manipulate public opinion, how they're going to attack and make so doubt through, you know, doubt in the institutions of journalism and media and in government and in just in local institutions. And their goal, it starts off with and I'm going to try to okay, fine. That's what I'm saying is that it's a total sickness that it begins with the rejection of God and believe all and their hatred of God and religion, but it ends up with being a hatred for all mankind. It's a misanthropy where their desire is not simply just to separate a human being from God, but the desire is really to destroy humanity itself, to really break down all society. I don't get what drives these people. I don't understand what motivates them, but they're very motivated. They're very motivated. It's a certain sickness in their soul that motivates them to destroy all these social institutions. And I think that why the seventh thing is split off, Meshach, Madana, Bein Achim, is because like that's like ultimately their goal. That's what unifies all the different aspects of the personality of, you know, the lies and the violence and the arrogance and the motivation, the thinking and all these different things. What motivates them is that their attempt to destroy the social order. That's like becomes the entire fiber, the entire unifying concept that ties their entire personality together in evil is that they ultimately want to destroy humanity itself. It starts with God, but it ends up being tied to the whole social fabric. So that's why I think it's the six things want to show you that it's every part of his personality, but then it has this idea of the anarchy and the destruction of society becomes that which the seventh one is different than the other ones. It becomes that which unifies them all. Why Rashi on Pasuk Yedalad, he had such an out, Medana Mishalach, in the end of Pasuk Yedalad, he could have interpreted Medana Mishalach Bein Achim, like the Pasuk openly says in Pasuk Yetes. Right, but Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi is Medana Mishalach Bein Adon Leboro. You know, so that bothered me a lot, and I didn't have a better explanation why Rashi does it. It's the Rashi that creates the problem because you really would have said that's how you would have interpreted Pasuk Yedalad. Yetes is referencing Yedalad, you know, but I think Rashi is trying to say that last point. That's how I'm basically interpreting it. Is that it's like an interesting idea, is that it starts with their rejection of God and how they prey on religious people and they try to break down religious people. But it doesn't just end with like a love of humanity. You know, they're not just like this wonderful secular humanist. There is such a thing of a min who becomes a secular humanist and they believe in, you know, humanism. And again, they're bad people because they hate the fact that there are religious people who have something that transcends human society, that transcends the mere physical temporal world. They don't like higher things that bothers them, and they seek to destroy that in others. That's how it begins. But I think what it's saying is that secular humanism is not stable. It might seem like a great achievement of modernity that you have this idea of humanism and we're all going to find happiness within the human realm amongst each other and meaning in entirely imminent in the institutions and culture that we create. But I think it's pointing to that ultimately it devolves, that if you don't have it grounded in something deeper and a metaphysical reality that transcends human reality, then ultimately it descends into a hatred for mankind itself. And it will lead to this desire for anarchy and destruction. And like where it comes from and why it is, I'm not really in touch with that, thank God. But it does seem like that element exists, and there is like this sickness in our society that we have people like that. And I think that, and I'm speculating a little bit, trying to interpret these psukim, but I'm not really giving a great explanation, is that it begins when you cut yourself off from God and you try to make your world just about humans and culture and society, things like that, that eventually that doesn't really work. And eventually you turn on society itself. that's my explanation for why the seventh thing is different and why Rashi interprets Yudalit as being first they attack the relationship between man and God, and then eventually they attack the relationship between people themselves. Yeah. Okay. This is how we learn. There is another way to learn the Rashi, because Rashi does not comment on that seventh thing. Meshalach Madan and Bein Achim, who sends like sows discord between brothers. Like the other way to learn is that Achim means the brothers is you and a Kadosh Baruch. Okay, and God, you know, Lamana Chai V'Rai, God is also called your brother. So it could very well be. I mean, I would love for Rashi to have commented and say that Achim is you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Lamana Chai V'Rai, and that there are other places Rashi says that. You know, and we saw the Rashi, he said on Pasuk Re'echa, in Bini Miraftu Re'echa, right? He said, Kadosh Baruch Hu is your friend, Zedodi V'Zerei, but like Kadosh Baruch Hu is also called your brother. So it could be that you really should pick the Parashi from your dollar. It says Mishalach Yishalach Medana Mishalach has been Adon Leboro, and Rashi expects you to know that since he interpreted Yudalit means between man and God, then so here when the pasuk itself says that he the heretic sows discord between brothers, the brothers are also between man and Akash Baruch Hu, and it's just referring to the relationship between you and Akash Baruch Hu as brothers. Maybe something like Leslie saying, showing that's like a natural relationship that really should exist. And then really it's saying that ultimately the to'eva, the ultimate to'eva of this guy, as opposed to being the whole spiel and anarchy that I just gave, it would be this ultimate point that his ultimate, what motivates him is this hatred for religion and for God. And he's just trying to sever you from God, you know, and then you don't have to go into the whole Antifa anarchy thing. But then you would be saying that that really, you know, that's the other alternative. And it's probably in a certain sense, the safer alternative. It's just that I would have wanted Rashi to comment and say that. That Achim here means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But so he doesn't. So I took it another way. But arguably the more conservative, safer play is to say that Achim really does mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is not dealing with the total anarchist, but it's really dealing with somebody who's just like the sick guy and just really wants to destroy any type of religious people who have a relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.